Okay, up next we have Uncle Dave Lewis. You may have heard of him as a writer and editor of the All Music Guide, but he also has an alter ego as he says, an instigator of avant-garde rock music in the conservative city of Cincinnati. He's gonna share some of his findings of musical activity in Ohio, the art punk scene.
Thanks, and before we get started, I've got a quiz question for you. What is the name of the lead singer of the Dead Boys? Who said Steve Bators? Was that you? You, first. Come on down, you won an All Music Guide. Yeah, and let's see, before I get started, I do have a little bit of company business. We're going through a site redesign, which is scheduled to launch in May. And in connection with that, we are looking for testimonials from people who use the All Music Guide, because we're going to have a special testimonials dedicated page. And so I would understand if you were reluctant to add your name to your description of how you feel about using our site. However, if you want to do that, then you know, contact me. I'll give you my card, or a lot of you know how to get hold of me already. So let me get in my audio CD. Could you quickly pull up my file? Awesome. All right. Ask any British musician or music expert where punk rock comes from. They'll tell you, oh, it's English. And the truth is it's American. And the original capital city of punk rock was Cleveland, Ohio. And we should take it back. The thing that's idiotic about it, especially also, is that you will tune in to MTV and hear about the punk explosion of 1977 and how this music from England changed the world. Well, the punk music of Ohio, New York, Boston of the early 70s changed the English. And that is where the credit is misdirected. Some of you may be confused as to why any of it would come from Ohio. There's lots of reasons, musically and culturally. One of the reasons culturally can be found in this photograph, which was taken May the 4th, 1970, on the campus of Kent State University. These kids are wondering, is it better to go and die in Vietnam or to die right now, right here, on this campus? This really also, another aspect of it is that a lot of the older people that they respected, their parents and their parents' friends, said things like, well, those kids, they had it coming to them. Well, it's not very nice to be told by your parents or your parents' friends that you or your friends' lives aren't worth very much. So if that isn't a good reason for rebellion, you know, in, as expressed in arts or music, I don't know what would be. This is the discography of Ohio Art Punk, actually a simulated version. I couldn't actually capture the actual webpage. And this is from a website out in Australia called collectorsscum.com. Which does discographies of lots of the regional punk scenes of the 70s and 80s in America. It's not complete, but it lists about 277 records made in Ohio really between 1972 and 83, encompassing some 90 Ohio bands that worked in this style. And it embodies new wave and other types of music as well. I do have a handout to pass out if you'll just pass it among yourselves. But then it starts with this band, The Action, which in fact I opened for in Akron many years ago when I was playing in a band, and continues right to the end of, I don't even know what the last name was, but in any event, this was the inspiration for this talk, this enormous amount of recording activity, all of, like 85% of which were records that were paid for by the bands who made them. One of the one record that is not on Henry's list is a very early example of punk that's coming out of the tail end of the psychedelic movement. The One Way Streets were a band from Portsmouth, Ohio, which is located on the confluence of the Scioto and the Ohio rivers. It is mostly known for flooding. And if you don't have to have a good reason to start a punk band. Small town boredom is a good reason as well. And this band recorded a record in Hamilton, in Ohio in 1972 called We All Love Peanut Butter. Well, it's not about the taste of peanut butter. It is, however, about the practice of cooking up peanut butter and shooting it into your veins as a cheap narcotic. Now that I've told you about it, please don't try it. It's so stupidly dangerous. But you won't find many songs in the psychedelic era that deal with cheap highs. That's something that's a bit more in the range of punk. So I'd like to share this record with you. The lyrics are deliberately garbled. That's part of the reason for the text. Throw the grown-ups off.
Yeah.
this record was never released. During the session, one of the members of the band stole a microphone from the studio. And the record company, Sunrise in Hamilton, said, if you don't return that microphone, we're not going to give your records to you. Well, they never returned the microphone, and Sunrise took the records out and just threw them in the dumpster, except for a few copies, which were rescued by my friend Chuck Cleaver about 10 years after it was made. And those are among the rarest psychedelic punk records in the world. Just a few. All right, let's move. I went the wrong way. Let's go up to Cleveland to try out some better drugs, just as this lady seems to be doing. This is a poster for La Cave, which was a venue. The Velvet Underground played in Cleveland no less than 14 times between 1968 and 1971. And you hear a lot of influences for Ohio punk, among them being the Detroit bands, such as MC5, The Stooges, and actually Grand Funk Railroad is also a really important group. However, The Velvets is a major, major influence, and especially in terms of what the Cleveland punkers of the 70s did with their guitars and what kinds of songs they wrote and that sort of thing. And most of the ones who formed these bands on the West Side used to hang out regularly. In fact, Charlotte Pressler remembered that the Velvet Underground were practically the house band at La Cave at this time. One important band from Cleveland, a very early one, was the Mirrors, which was led by a songwriter named Jamie Klimek. And his partner in the band was a guy named Jim Crook, who was stationed in Vietnam for most of their early history. And in fact, there's a story that Jamie tells where he sent a demo tape to Jim in Vietnam, and it was blown up by a mortar shell before Jim had a chance to hear it. But they finally first played out in about 1972 or 73, broke up after a gig at Case Western Reserve University on September 20th, 1975, and made exactly one record, which was issued in 1977 on the Harthan Records label. And we're going to hear a little bit of that. This is a song called She Smiled Wild, and this is taken from the current Mirror CD, which is this one, Hands in My Pocket. Recorded in 1975. Sister band to the Mirrors was a group called the Electric Eels. That's ARSC member Paul Murata on the right in the long hair and the lipstick. That's John Morton in the center, and singer Dave E. McManus on the left. Among other members of the band were Brian McMahon, who was guitarist and chief songwriter, and the drummer Nick Knox, who later became well-known playing for the Cramps. The Electric Eels music is, of all Cleveland art punk bands, the hardest to trace in terms of previous influences. They used three guitars, and no bass player. And in addition to that, they played only about 6 or 7 shows, and each one was a total disaster. If the Eels managed to do the show and weren't led away in handcuffs at the end of the night, it was a good thing for them. However, I want you to listen to this, and you know, this will give a really good sense of what the Eels were about. Guitars 1 and 2 will be in this channel. Guitar number 3 is over here. This was also recorded in 75. This is Splittery Splat. Still think that punk rock is a British invention? The Styrenes were the group that were distilled out of the Electric Eels and the Mirrors after they broke up at the same show at Case Western University, September 20th, 1975. We don't have time to play their song. However, my wife worked, did some very nice graphics for it, and as you can see, it has some very lovely sentiments. An instant punk classic, Drano in Your Veins. Styrenes are still in New York and still active, with although there have been frequently changes in the lineup, many of the original guys from the Mirrors and Eels are still working, and I highly recommend their recording of Terry Riley's In C, which was done for the German Angel label a couple years ago, and you know, it's really good. Rocket from the Tombs was the East Side version of the West Side bands. It featured Peter Loeffner, who was a guitarist who had already been a well-established staple in the Cleveland art punk scene for quite some time by the time Rocket was formed at the end of the summer of 1974 by David Thomas. The original band members walked out on Rocket by the end of the year, and an unlikely savior came in the form of guitarist Gene O'Connor and drummer Johnny Medansky joining the band. which was kind of like the two meanest bullies on the block joining the band that was led by the biggest sissy on the block. However, something about it worked, and we don't have time to hear the whole excerpt, but I'd like to play a little bit of 30 Seconds Over Tokyo.
How to skip forward. Thank you.
Rocket from the Tombs regrouped last summer and held the hottest summer tour all year long. There they are, David Thomas in the center, Gene O'Connor on the right. And the thing is that, you know, after 28 years, they still had as much fire in them as ever. So, you know, the basic marketing strategy for art punk seems to be got no audience, got no record company support, record it any way you can, put it out any way you can, wait 25 to 30 years, and then everything will be fine. These guys don't need much introduction. Pere Ubu was the group that came out of the ruins, well, at least one half of the group that came out of Rocket. The other half being the Dead Boys. And they're still around, although they've taken hiatuses, and they over time they have managed to release 12 studio albums, which isn't bad for a band that started in 1975. And there are some Pere Ubu fans here. I hate to offend them by skipping the tune, but we're running out of time. Before we leave Cleveland, should mention that the art punk scene went into the 80s with groups like Death of Samantha, My Dad is Dead, and lots of terrific talent. The Pagans is a huge punk group, which Henry Weld on the discography says he believes is the greatest punk group of all time. And am I out of time now?
If we could take just 5 minutes per questions, yeah.
Okay, so, well, let me quickly run through the slides. Akron, the Akron album, something that was kind of in the back pocket of the record industry, but Akron was better known for sort of like new wave and new pop. This was a band that meant a lot to me, Shy Pig. There's Sue Schmidt on the left, Debbie on the right. And you know, I always felt kind of sorry for poor Rick in the middle. This is the Poor Girls, another early band, and I should mention that I talked to Sue. You always ask yourself, where are the records of these bands? Well, I understand that there are two acetates of this group that need to be conserved, which is something we should be mindful of. In 2004, we have the same relationship to the first recordings made by the Beatles that folks in 1964 had to the first recordings made by King Oliver. So, and also, the materials those recordings were made on were much more perishable than shellac 78s. So we really need to get cracking on preserving this stuff. The Human Switchboard, another terrific band, sort of like the predecessors to late 80s groups like Galaxy 500. And of course these guys, whom I love. I was going to play Otto Modown, and this was my illustration. It's about poverty and the rubber strike in Youngstown, although this picture is from Bolivia. Middle-aged soccer moms dressing up at Devo and doing Whip It at parties. That's a very powerful type of cultural assimilation. The Swifter commercial is hugely popular, and now Devo is being understood as a kind of a middle-aged cultural icon. They're supposed to play the Nike marathons this summer. And, you know, folks of this generation don't have a lot of entertainment options. I predict that at the end of 2004, if they can stay out of each other's hair, which is hard for those guys, they'll be bigger than ever. Columbus, they had a scene. This is Mark Geitzel, who's with American Music Club now. He denies that he ever lived in Ohio, but he did make two records here. Jim Shepherd recorded more than 3,000 songs before his death in 1998, and all but maybe 1% of them are available thanks to a problem with the relationship between the guy who recorded him and Shepherd's widow. Cincinnati, lovely town. Who concert tragedy? Not a lovely event. And it was something that inspired many of us in Cincinnati to kind of go against the grain and start making art punk. Blank frame, supposed to accommodate the video. My first art punk record, made in 1982, Auto Glamour Sound. It's kind of a collector, especially these days. I hope to see it out later this year. This is one of the lovely scans that the RIAA arranged for me. This is BPA, a group that I produced for my label, Hospital Records. Their music has a very obvious debt to the music of the North. This cassette, Ring Bells and Blow Whistles, included many of the first electronic art punk pieces from Cincinnati. And we found that when hardcore punk came in, that the earth became flat and we sailed off one of the corners. However, instead we turned to electronics as an alternative way of continuing to express something new. And we ended up predicting a lot of the aspects of what became electronica and techno. Manwich, huge band in Cincinnati, three guys, three girls, noise, noise, noise. This is The Enemy, folks, the cassette. You know, I know that cassettes are pretty hardy, but after about 25 or 30 years, you may as well shred them in your salad because you certainly can't play them. And this is a major priority, folks, in terms of preserving the music of the relatively recent past. We need to account for those cassettes, get them transferred to digital. If you run into any cassettes of any Ohio bands when you're out looking for 78s or whatever in Ohio, something that looks like it's by a local band, mail it to Bill Shirk at Bowling Green State University, and he'll take care of it. I've been on too long. Thank you. I'm Uncle Dave Lewis.